It's going to share, we'll keep a little of that theme going, but the transformation process. New hearts and new minds. We all want new hearts and new minds, don't we? Yeah, day by day. New hearts and new minds. A transformation process. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We've shared on this before, but we will highlight it again today. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of Elohim, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, kadosh, acceptable to Elohim, which is your spiritual or reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of Elohim, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's the kind of people we want to be, isn't it? But the challenge is there, because everything in this world in which we live works against it. So, I just want to focus a little on the fact that the power of this world to fashion us like unto itself is immense. And it's multifaceted in its approach and its objectives to make us like itself. It wants us to reflect it and to be a mirror image of everything that it wants us to be. It will destroy every vestige of faith we have if we let it. This world will make us talk like it, look like it, behave like it, accept everything that it wants it to be, and it wants everybody else to be just like it. That's the world we live in. And this world's approach and appeal to people changes with every state of change that we go through. From children, to youth, to adulthood. It will pitch its voice at every level to grab them, hold them, and own them. It's pretty clever in how it can make us into its image. That's the objective of the world in which we live. We are targeted at every level of life in a different way in order to conform us to its image, its ideals, its beliefs, its fashions, its looks, its interests, in the use of our time, our pleasures, our priorities. The world wants to run us, control us, and own us. That's the world we live in. And we have to be aware of that. We have to be on guard of that. We have to be so aware of how different this world is to God, to Torah. He is kadosh. He is separate, set apart, and nothing in this world reflects him and his image. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. That day is coming. But for now, we are part of the battle to remain true to him and that image. The world tells you how to spend your money until you have none. How to dress. What to think. Politically, spiritually, educationally, morally, socially, it wants to own us and control us. Colossians 2, verses 8 and 9. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the tradition of men and the basic principles of the world, rather than Messiah. For all the fullness of deity lives bodily in him. That's what it's saying, isn't it? The world wants to own us, and he's saying, be careful. Don't let its philosophies, its traditions, and its principles of life take you captive, instead of allowing Yeshua the Messiah and what he declares, reveals, and wants to impart into our lives. As we read in Romans 12, Paul exhorts, entreats to not let this age squeeze us into its mold. This world, this age, and it's the Greek word eon, which means age, the age in which you live. So Paul urgently desires or asks us to present our physical bodies as a living sacrifice, set apart and pleasing or acceptable to Elohim. That's a challenge. Can I live that 24 hours a day, every day of my life? I fall short. Somehow, some way, emotion will take over. Desire will take over. Father may ask of something that just kind of gets in the road of what I want to be right now. But, as Paul said, this is your logical, reasonable, rational, or spiritual service as children of Elohim. The spirit of this world is the spirit of Antichrist, and he wants to own us. As John the Apostle said, the spirit of the Antichrist is well and truly here now. And in this verse, he says, this word world or age has been given personality. This age has the ability to seduce, to tempt, to control, to own the lives of all its inhabitants worldwide. Who is this personality behind all the political power brokers, the mega rich multinationals, the financiers of the banking and the lending institutions, the great and famous names behind fashion, the entertainment world, the music world, and the plethora of religious institutions? Who is the personality behind all of that? And of course, we know the answer. None other than Satan, the devil, the god of this world. He wants to own, control, and ruin our lives. Take us out of Father's kingdom into his kingdom, to live by his rules and not the Creator's rules. That destroys life. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 6 tells us that. For this reason, since we have this ministry, just as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. Instead, we renounce the hidden shameful ways, not walking in deception or distorting the word of Elohim, but commending ourselves before Elohim to everyone's conscience by the open proclamation of the truth. And even if our good news is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving,
so they might not see the light of the good news of the glory of Messiah, who is the image of Elohim. We do not proclaim ourselves, but Messiah Yeshua as Adonai, and ourselves as your slaves for Yeshua's sake. For Elohim, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Messiah.
So we have the culprit, Satan, who wants to rob us of all of that. And he is the same one that from Adam and Eve's age to our own age today. He's been at work from the beginning, and he'll be at work to the end. And his objective and agenda in all that this world has to offer is to blind the eyes of the world's peoples to the good news of Yeshua the Messiah, who is the image of Jehovah the Almighty, as we read there. And he doesn't want the world to see, to know, to understand, to believe, to take a hold of, to experience, to enjoy the fullness of who Jehovah is, and to see the intrinsic person, the creator of life itself, and its eternal purpose. Verses 16 to 18 of the same chapter says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our trouble, light and momentary, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, as we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." Live for the eternal, not for the temporal, because the temporal and what this world has to offer takes us away from Messiah and destroys us. Focus on the eternal, the kingdom, because it will bless us, reward us, and bring joy, peace, satisfaction in a way this world has no understanding of. Always keep the eternal before our eyes. How are we to escape Satan and this world's captivating power and tantalizing deception and wanting to enslave us to its lifestyles, beliefs and mindsets, its false philosophies and conspiracies and subjective self-will that satisfies the flesh? How do we escape all of that subtleties of Satan and the world in which we live? Our lives can only be transformed to fully understand, to desire and to love, to test and approve what is the will, the purpose, the desire, the decree of Elohim for your life and mine through a renewed mind. He wants our lives to be transformed, our minds to be renewed, so that we can fully understand, appreciate, value his will, his desire, what is good and acceptable and blessed of Jehovah. And only through a transformed mind can we understand and bow to what is good or beneficial or acceptable, well-pleasing and perfect or complete, or as fully mature people in the eyes of Elohim. A worldly mind is to be renewed and are to become spiritually minded. We can't do that. The world doesn't want that. Satan is totally opposed to that. He wants us to have a mind just like his. 1 Corinthians 2:12 to 16 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, the Ruach, who is from Elohim,
so we might come to know the things freely given to us by Elohim. These things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Ruach, explaining the spiritual to the spiritual. Now a natural man does not accept the things of the Ruach Elohim, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But the one who is spiritual discerns all things, and he himself is discerned by no one. For who has known the mind of Jehovah that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah.
Wow, who has the mind of the Almighty to tell him what life is about and how to do what is pleasing to me? But through the Ruach, we have the mind of Messiah, who is the image of the Almighty himself. We can know the mind and the will and the heartbeat of the Father through the Ruach, who explains spiritual to spiritual-minded people, and who will bring us into an understanding and a mind that is like the mind of Yeshua himself. We want renewed minds, transformed lives that match the Master's. That's the challenge. And he says, the world won't give that to you, but the Spirit, the Ruach of Jehovah will. Don't let the world dictate, guide, or direct our lives. Let the Word, the Ruach, come and be involved in how we think, how we live, what is important to us, our use of our time, our pleasures, our money, our relationships. Let our hearts be guided by what the Word says. The Ruach says, and be rewarded and blessed and enriched in ways the world can't even understand or think of. Things go better with the Ruach. Things go better with the Word. Things go better when we put him first in our lives. And this is what he is wanting to tell us. What will transform our minds? That is on that word, but let me just put into three things which we know so well. Firstly, the Word. Our lamp and our light through life's dark night and dangerous age in which we live is the Word, the Torah. Psalm 119, 25 to 32. We know it so well. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your Word. I told of my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Help me discern the way of your precepts, so I may meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps with grief. Make me stand firm with your Word. Turn me away from the deceitful way and be gracious to me with your Torah. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your judgments. I cling to your testimonies. Jehovah, do not put me to shame. I run the course of your commandments, for you open wide my heart. He's saying there, when I have tough times, your Word will save me. I will enter into the truth of your Word, the ways of your Word. Let your Word come and do a work in my life when things are very difficult. Verses 105 to 108, same chapter. Your Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed to observe your righteous rulings. I am severely afflicted. Keep me alive, Jehovah, according to your Word. Please accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, Jehovah, and teach me your rulings. He gave us a conscience so that when people want to draw us away, we know intuitively in here Something's not quite right. Jehovah is saying something to me, but I'm not sure why. I'll dig into his word and let it guide me and direct me. Hebrews 4, 11 to 13. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Life in him is a rest. It's meant to be a life of shalom, peace. Internally, mentally, spiritually, we are meant to be a people at rest, like this day reveals to us, so that no one may fall through the same pattern of disobedience. Read the previous verses and chapters, Israel. For the word of Elohim is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing right through to a separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from him, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The word is powerful. It's living. It's able to direct its thoughts, attentions straight into our hearts and minds so that we may honor it and find ourselves blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. 1 Peter 1, 23 to 25. You have been born again, not from perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of Elohim. For all humanity is like grass, all its glory like a wildflower. The grass withers, life withers. The flower falls off, people die. But the word of Jehovah endures forever. And this is the word that was proclaimed as good news to you. When we received and embraced Yeshua as our Messiah, it was an imperishable, eternal, life-giving, self-regenerating word. And not like the world gives us. It's all going to perish. It's all going to stand naked before Jehovah, and all are going to give an account of life, like it or not. And he says, let the word, which endures forever, fill our hearts and lives so that we may walk in the imperishable nature of his blessing and fullness. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Messiah also loved his community and gave himself up for her to make her kadosh, having cleansed her by immersion in the word. Messiah did this so that he might present to himself his glorious community, not having stain or wrinkle or any such thing, but in order that she might be kadosh and blameless. That's what Yeshua is wanting to make us like and to be like in him. He gave himself up for us. He immersed us into his word, truth, life. And he says, that word that comes from me, that word which comes by the Ruach, that word which comes from Torah, will it be so implanted in your life, it will wash over you, it will cleanse you, it will keep you kadosh, it will keep you walking on the right path, it will keep you strong and immovable in the purposes of Jehovah for your life. When we immerse ourselves in his word, when his word is immersed and flows over us, it will do something. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the world cannot see it, understand it, or know it, but we can because the Ruach takes it. And the Ruach makes that word come to life. It lives, it washes, it empowers, it cleanses, it directs, it guides, it's a light. It's an amazing, powerful, wonderful thing. When the word gets a hold of our hearts, we become immersed in it because it is of the spirit. It is spiritual, it's alive. And if we approach it like that and say, Father, let your word bless me.
Let your word bring joy to my heart. Let your word delight me. It does. We've all experienced that. I know. When the Ruach is blessing the word, it's just the most amazing experience to just find the pleasure and the joy of new things in the word we haven't seen before. It's wonderful. It's amazing. The word, it's a powerful force in renewing our minds and transforming our lives. Secondly, the Ruach. We are washed clean in the regeneration of being born anew and renewed, renewed or made brand new by the Ruach HaKodesh, by his indwelling presence and power. Titus 3, 1-7. Remind the people to be submitted to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to slander no one, without fighting, gentle, showing every courtesy to all people. That's one I had to think about hard. Showing every courtesy, because there's some people I am not the least bit interested in showing any courtesy whatsoever. I hate everything they stand for. And I was challenged by it, because I know even this week I did not want to talk to people that did not agree with who I was and what my stance is in life. Evil, wicked people. I don't even want to be in the same room as you. And then I read this. Showing every courtesy to all people. Well, I shall, but I hate everything you stand for. For we also once were foolish, disobedient, deluded, enslaved to various desires and pleasures, spending our lives in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of Elohim our Saviour and his love for mankind appeared, not by deeds of righteousness which we had done ourselves, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the mikvah, or the immersion, or the washing of rebirth and renewing, making brand new of the Ruach HaKodesh, whom he abundantly poured out on us through Messiah, Yeshua, our Saviour, so that being set right by his free gift, we might become heirs with the confident hope of eternal life. It's a powerful scripture, isn't it? That's the Ruach at work in our life. John 7, 37-39. Two total different positions there between what we were once and what we are now by the powerful immersion into the Ruach of righteousness. Yeshua on the steps of the temple. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Yeshua stood up and cried out loudly, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Ruach, whom those who trusted in him were going to receive, for the Ruach was not yet given, since Yeshua was not yet exalted. A river of life flows from within us and out into the world of people around us. It is a river that also sustains us and in which we swim and refresh ourselves and drink deeply of the river of the Ruach, the river of his person, of his presence, of his power to enrich, to cleanse, to remind, to teach, to guide. We just throw ourselves into that river and the fullness of him and his regeneration power, regenerative power to transform us, comes alive in our hearts and beings simply because we give way to him, make room for him, immerse ourselves into who he is. John 14, 15-21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper so he may be with you forever. The Spirit, the Ruach of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. You know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer behold me, but you will behold me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father. You are in me, and I am in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Something of what Darren was saying last week. Obedience to his commandments. And he says, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be put to death pretty soon. The world will not see me, but you will, because you know me. And I'll reveal myself to you over and over and over again, because I'm sending the Ruach. I'm sending my Spirit. I'm sending that one which will take my place in the world, in your heart and in your life. And I will be in you. You will be in me because of Ruach, who makes us one together, spiritual beings bonded together in unity and oneness. That's the power of a transformed life, by the power of the Ruach. John 16, 12 to 15. I still have much more to tell you. Remember, this is the conversation in the upper room at Passover, just before he died. Much more to tell you, he says to his disciples, but you cannot handle it just now. But when the Ruach of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will tell you. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will exalt me, because he will take from what is mine and he will declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said, the Ruach will take from what is mine and declare it to you. He always wants to teach us stuff. He always wants to open the Word, the Scriptures, so that we will understand it. He always wants to deepen our walk to match the walk of Yeshua the Messiah and be focused upon becoming the image of the Almighty. That's the Ruach. He will transform our lives. He will renew our minds. He will make us to be the most powerful people walking through whatever this world can throw at us and not stumbling, falling, or failing, because Ruach is our friend. He is the one that who indwells us, imparts truth to us, brings knowledge and understanding to us, and shows the future to us. That's a transformed life. That's a mind being renewed in the Word by the power of the Ruach, who wants us to take a hold of these things and utilize them for our benefit to be strong against what this world will throw at us. In every way, the Ruach is our teacher and our guide, who comes along for the ride with us and gives us life. Doesn't let us walk on our own. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'm going to walk your life with you. Trust me. I'll guide you. I'll speak to you. I'll communicate with you. I'll remind you of which way to go, of what to say no to, what to say yes to, who to identify with and not to. I'm there with you every step of the way. Allow him to be our guide. Allow him to be your teacher. Allow him to communicate and speak truth, because it will bless you immeasurably. Instead of taking our own way and being blessed miserably, he will transform our hearts and minds. Thirdly, finally, prayer. Prayer is an invitation for Jehovah's intervention in our lives. When I'm praying, I am saying, Father, I need you. I believe in you. I trust you. Help me. I'm not going to try and battle this on my own. I'm not going to pretend that I'm stronger than the world. I'm not going to pretend that I'm stronger than my own fleshly desires. I'm not going to pretend that I can fight the good fight on my own. I need you. This is my need. This is my problem. This is my dilemma. This is my question. Help me. That's what prayer is. And we looked at this a few weeks ago. And made up of various commodities, prayer, praise, thanksgiving, repentance, worship. All of these things make up my relationship with Jehovah. My contact and friendship with him comes out of all of those things. Luke 18, 1 to 8. We read this the other week as well, but then Yeshua told them a parable to show that they should always pray and not be discouraged. Ever get discouraged? I do. But he said, you don't need to. There was a judge in a certain city who neither feared Elohim nor respected people. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my opponent. He was unwilling at the time, but afterward he said to him, also, though I don't fear God or respect people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so she won't wear me out by her incessant coming. Then Adonai said, hear what the unjust judge is saying. Won't Elohim do justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he be slow to help them? I tell you, he will quickly give them justice. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jehovah is always desirous of, and it's what Yeshua gave his life for, to find a people who will give their lives as a living sacrifice and who will be set apart from this age, from this world. And we won't do it on our own. We need Father. We need fellowship, relationship, and interaction with him. As he said, day and night, in the daytime, in the nighttime, every day, every night, have a heartbeat that says, I remember you, I trust you, I believe in you, be with me. As Paul said, this is a daily mindset. I die daily. I deal with my flesh every day, so it doesn't take over, so I can go through the trials and tribulations that Jehovah said I'm going to go through. I could back out anytime soon, but I won't, because I will say, no, flesh, you will not answer for me. You will not control me. I will keep pushing on, no matter what. Yeshua said it's a mindset that takes up our stake, our cross, and follows him. I ask myself the question, why is it that I can be or nearly or maybe obsessed to be a perfectionist in some areas of my life and a perfect slob in others? What makes me like that? That's the truth. Some areas of our life can be very undisciplined and can be a major distraction and impediment in our life. That's the flesh, that's humanity. So demanding in some areas, so uncaring in others. In so many ways, we need our minds made over anew. By the word, by the ruach, by prayer, so that we can have blessed, transformed lives full of shalom and passion for Yeshua. Don't worry about what the world says. Don't worry about what your friends say. Be passionate about what you believe in. Be passionate about what you stand for.
Be passionate about your salvation. Be passionate about your walk according to the word. Don't worry about what others say or think of you because of it. It may cost something. Some may not want to identify with you because of it, because your presence convicts them badly. It's their problem, it's not yours. Father will bless you anyway. Minds that aren't renewed can affect our relationship with Jehovah badly. It can affect our spiritual growth, our effectiveness, and our usefulness can be compromised if we don't allow the Ruach, the word and prayer, to transform, to renew our minds, our heartbeats, and we say, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Change me, transform me, renew my mind, that I may reflect what you want me to be for you, that I may know what is your good, acceptable, perfect will for my life. It's a big call, isn't it? That's what he's talking about. He says that will only happen when I can renew your mind and transform your life. And if we don't allow him, then my undisciplined life will take over. We've all had those challenges, and we will all have them for here and till he comes again. Doesn't matter whether you're 10 or 76, there's always going to be the challenge. Slow down, give up something, don't push so hard. Enjoy yourself. But the Father may say, no, you do what I want. You do what I called you for, this and this and this, therefore do this, and I will bless you, as Darren was reminding us, and I will honor you, and I will reward you. Don't give up. Push forward. Be blessed. Elohim's purpose of life and will can easily be lost or severely handicapped. For many in this religious world, Yeshua says, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? Who will walk this narrow path with me? How many will do it to the end? That's the question. That's the challenge. Multitudes will not walk this narrow path, because this narrow path will get tougher. This world will get more wicked, more immoral, more demanding of your time, your money, your focus, your attention. They will want everything you've got. And Yeshua says, well, the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, has got them. And he says, will I find faith? Will I find fully, truly, and honestly those who walk in my ways? Yes, I know. You say, Lord, Lord, we ate with you, we drank with you, we cast out demons, we healed the sick, we did this and that in your name. And you say, depart from me, I never knew you, you lawless ones. Will I find faith? No, he wants people with renewed minds, transformed lives, that understand the truth of the narrow way in comparison to the wide way that doesn't lead to the right door into the right kingdom. So it's full of challenge. It's full of maybe great sacrifices, but it's full of blessing and peace and great reward and eternal objectives and purpose. So when he says, will I find faith on the earth? He's saying that is that believers in Yeshua or Jesus have become more like the world than like Yeshua. The love of the world, friendship with the world in John's epistles has become more important than Torah truth. He says, if you are friends with the world, you're my enemy. And we understand what that is meant by friends with the world, because it's what we've been talking about. The world comes first. The flesh comes first. What I want comes first. I'm not willing to lay down my life as a living sacrifice. As I said one other time, the worst part of being a living sacrifice is it keeps sliding off the altar to get up there again. Jehovah's plan for us in this present life or age has eternal purpose in the life or the age to come. So our lives in this present life has eternal purpose for the life that is to come, the age that is come. And this book, the Tanakh, and the apostles' writings are meant to change our lives step by step. Mankind was created in his image, or likeness. But the fullness and the beauty of that was lost through sin. And our Heavenly Father wants to restore what we have lost so we can be like him, think like him, be as disciplined as him, and full of self-control as he is. Big challenges, aren't they? But step by step, day by day, year by year, experience by experience, getting up, dusting ourselves down, making it right, moving on, we attain. Doesn't mean we won't get it wrong, we won't be bad, indifferent, put ourselves first and all of that, no. But he says, as soon as you realize how far out of step you got, deal with it. Get back on track. And he will take care of who we are and where he wants to take us. He wants us to be of temper and strength of character, integrity and love as he is. We are to be perfect, fully mature, as he is, kadosh, as he is. All that is the work of Yeshua's shed blood, the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the washing and the wisdom of the word, and all embraced in the place of prayer and fellowship with the Father. May Jehovah, Father, Son, Ruach, help us on this journey of renewed minds and transformed lives. Amen. Amen.